Please be seated. Erin and Carrie have our readings for us.
Today's first reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 to 14, which can be found on page 1167 of the Church Bibles. Finally, brother, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be one of mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's second reading comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, which can be found on pages 1001 of the Church Bibles. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Power of the Holy Spirit, may my words be your words, and may all our hearts be open to receive your message for us today, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I think quite often preachers think they've drawn the short straw if they get down to preach, put down to preach on Trinity Sunday, perhaps in the misguided belief that they need to explain the Trinity in a way that everyone listening can understand. So I don't think I'm even going to try. But never mind, we'll get on to the Trinity in a minute. But how many books will have been written on the subject of the Trinity? And I think however many we read, we will probably be struggling to understand it completely. But unashamedly, I'm going to start by reading something I know I've read here before, but you might not all have heard it, and it's both interesting and helpful to my mind. And it's a short extract from a book which many of you may have read, called The Shack by William Paul Young. The central character, Mac, has just met three other main characters. So to take up the story briefly, thoughts tumbled over each other as Mac struggled to figure out what to do. Was one of these people God? What if they were hallucinations or angels or God was coming later? That could be embarrassing. Since there were three of them, maybe this was a Trinity sort of thing. But two women and a man, and none of them white? Then again, why had he naturally assumed that God would be white? He knew his mind was rambling, so he focused on the one question he most wanted answered. Then, Max struggled to ask, "Which one of you is God?" "I am," said all three in unison. Max looked from one to the next, and even though he couldn't begin to grasp what he was seeing and hearing, he somehow believed them. And maybe that sums us up too. The Trinity is a fascinating subject. Maybe we just have to believe it because we can only scratch the surface. And I don't think a sermon is the place to try and completely unravel the doctrine anyway. And I think we should probably be excited rather than frustrated that God is so great that he's full of mystery. And if something is a mystery, we surely want to just keep exploring it. I came across the following definition. The mysterious and holy nature of the one true God is beyond our understanding, but it is both communal harmony and individual personality. The actual word Trinity doesn't occur in the Bible, but that's not to say it isn't mentioned as a concept. And today's focus passage is the one from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And that's just one of the many in the New Testament which refer to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So page 1167, if you want to follow that one in the Bibles. Have it open there. But let's just set the context. Our setting today is that it is Trinity Sunday, which falls on the first Sunday after Pentecost. And it's one of the few feasts in the Christian calendar that celebrate a doctrine rather than an event. And various scholars down the ages have interpreted the Trinity very differently, describing the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in various ways. And this intellectual and academic discussion and debate will obviously go on ad infinitum. But while still wanting to explore it further, we'd best accept that on earth we'll never be able to understand exactly who God is and what he is like. We need some understanding of the triune God, but we don't need to be able to explain everything. Our first reading this morning contains Paul's closing words to the Corinthian church. And we need to remember that Paul was writing to a church and a community that was having some difficulties and experienced the kinds of issues and problems that our society experiences today. Paul is telling the Corinthian church to aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. A message surely for all time, but easier said than done. Paul is encouraging them to be like God. In other words, a community that embodies the Trinity. And at the end of the day, that all comes down to relationships, almost, if you like, a love triangle. The piece of yellow paper that you were given as you came in has a love triangle on it. This would actually work better as a visual aid if we'd built it, because we could build it so it's showing how strong the triangle could be if each section was joined to each other. And with God in the middle, it could spin on that axis. But with God at that centre of that triangle, whichever aspect of God we focus on, whichever side we look in, we're always looking at God in all his fullness and truth. Of course, God is more than a mathematical shape. He's much more than a triangle. But it does show us that for God, it's no problem being one God who is also Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's enough of mathematics for the moment. It was never my favourite subject anyway, so I'm happy to slide away. But let's look at the Trinity, that love triangle, if you like. It is key to our relationships, our welcoming, and our worship. So first, our relationships. Put simply, God is three and one in three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together. Each one of us is a kind of Trinity, a three in one. We're body, mind, and spirit, but we're one being. And that diagram on your paper, that love triangle, can help us demonstrate how the three work together. The three persons of the Trinity have different functions. The Father could not do what Jesus did. He worked through him. And the Spirit did what Jesus could not do because Jesus had a human body. They work independently but collaboratively. How many of you noticed on the wall of the church above the organ where we can read, through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father? From Ephesians. But all important is that strong bond of love and truth. No relationship will hold together without love, as many know to their cost. And within a church, it is so important to hold and demonstrate that love for one another. It doesn't have to be literally by a holy kiss. We can demonstrate our love in so many different ways. And I think we do as a fellowship here. We need to think about our relationship with God, with others, and with God's creation. If we are to reflect truly the image of God, those relationships must be mutual, generous, and just. They must acknowledge and value differences as well as similarities. And they must be prepared to accept as well as give. It takes two to love. God loves. Do we? Do we have that true partnership of love in all those relationships? Relationships are foundational to everything. And so secondly, what about the Trinity in terms of our welcoming? Let's do that with the help of a famous icon, which Ian's going to put up on the board. This is called the Trinity, and it's by the 15th century Russian iconographer, Andrei Rublev. And that's a well-known picture to many of you, I'm sure. The Holy One in the form of three. It really needs more than a cursory glance. It needs a lot of analysis. But you can see the deep respect between all three of them as they share from a common bowl and note the hand of the Holy Spirit. It seems to be pointing, rather, towards that empty space, that open and fourth place at the table. Is the Holy Spirit inviting, offering, and clearing a space? For who or what? You and me? The scene also depicts the Eucharist and is based on the three mysterious visitors that came to Abraham in Genesis. That story is known as the hospitality of Abraham, and in early Christian theology, those three mysterious figures came to symbolise the three persons of the Trinity. So it's worth reflecting on this picture at leisure. In fact, happy to leave it up for now if you like, Ian, until I've finished. That's fine. It's all about relationships and welcome. There's no evident hierarchy here. It's a sort of dynamic circle, almost a triangle of relationships. And a sense of sharing there too, which brings us to our third point of involvement of the Trinity in our worship. At baptism, we were born again by water and the Spirit, as Jesus was at his baptism, using the words he did when saying to his disciples, as we've just heard in Matthew, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We often say the grace, don't we, as a meaningful and convenient prayer. So why don't we pause for a moment and say those words now? We don't have to say them just at the end of the service. So let's share now the grace between ourselves. Let's say together, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Sort of cementing of those relationships and our worshipping together. And that same benediction with which Paul concludes his letter is the only place in the New Testament where God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are mentioned so explicitly in just such a blessing. And we declare our faith, don't we, in one of the creeds or a version thereof, and we will be doing so shortly. The creeds were first developed in the 4th century in the face of people denying the divinity of Christ and denying that there were three persons in one God. So Christian worship is inherently Trinitarian. We've already mentioned baptism and the creeds, all of which is fine. But have we really opened our hearts and minds and been filled with the Spirit? Importantly, our worship, and indeed all that we do, should be to the glory of God. The Holy Spirit has a very important role in that love triangle. The Spirit's work is to glorify Christ, not himself. The focus of the work of the Spirit is the work of Jesus, not some work of his own, which he accomplished apart from or beyond Jesus, and that should be our aim too. We're filled with the Spirit to do God's work. And music shares in the Trinitarian dynamic of worship, as Paul encourages the Ephesians. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in conclusion, we can think of the Trinity as God in a partnership of love, as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which we, having been made in the image of God, should reflect in all our relationships, our welcoming, and in our worship. The Trinity is not just for thinking about once a year. I'm sure we don't think about our fathers just once a year on Father's Day. We need to be aware all the time of that love triangle. And like Mac, in the story we heard at the beginning, it might be hard for us to grasp sometimes that God is three in one and one in three, but we can see the outworkings of that awesome and amazing partnership. So, you might like afterwards to use one of today's Bible passages, that love triangle, a picture, the grace, or whatever, to reflect on the relationship of love in the Trinity, which we worship, and how you can reflect that in your daily lives. So let's have a moment's pause before reflection. I'll close in prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord of Majesty, Trinity of love and power, accept and make holy all that we are, all that we have, and all that we offer you. Keep us firm in our faith and strong in your service. Create in us a new heart, that we may respond to your great mercy. One God, our Saviour, now and forever. Amen.